Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 47. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
And the soldiers led Jesus away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisted together a crown of thorns, and they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day of before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have died already. And he, summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph, and Joseph brought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. St. Mark records only one of our Lord's last words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" If history is written by the conquerors, then this is a tale of a conquered Christ. But the temple curtain belies that victory. They mock Jesus at every turn, crowning him in shame, draping him in ridicule, wagging their heads, calling him out. Perhaps there's even a note of scoffing in Pilate's surprise to hear that Jesus was defeated so soon. Only the centurion breaks rank to warn that the victory may be overstated, and that history may not look back so favorably on their actions that day. But history is not written by these conquerors. It is written by the Creator. It was written long before that day, as both the words of Jesus and his detractors are compelled to confess. To the one who first picks up Psalm 22 at the suggestion of Jesus' last word recorded here, the similarity seems uncanny. But that understanding alone would be as foolish as mistaking Eloi as a call for Elijah. The Lord is writing the whole world's story. Whether he writes it in bedrock or in stone, whether in parchment or in time itself. John's gospel wanted us to see that he was writing the very actions of the enemies, however twisted, and they were not in control of what they were doing. Mark simply raises the idea and suggests that we should delve deeper into what it meant when Jesus said, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, and let the Scriptures be fulfilled." So in Psalm 22, we see that Jesus indeed cries in the daytime, turned dark as night, and yet is not heard. He is a reproach of men and despised by all the people. All who see him laugh him to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their heads, saying, "He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delights in him." And yet Christ remains faithful in it all, trusting his Father, indeed obeying this, his greatest charge of all, at this very hour. His heart pours out water when at last he is dead. His bones are put out of joint on the cross. His strength and his mouth are dried up. The assembly of the wicked enclose him, piercing his hands and feet, and they part his garments among them, casting lots for his vesture. Truly indeed was this man, Jesus of Nazareth, both King of the Jews and Son of God. Why then was he abandoned? It is because he must give his life as a ransom for many. It's because he is the real mercy seat. His blood-soaked body is the atonement cover between the cherubim where our redemption and our praise rests. Gaze now into the holy place of the temple, which is exposed, and you will see that there was nothing standing behind that curtain. Because the true temple is found at the cross. He is offering its true atoning sacrifice. Here it is torn down, and in 3 days it will be raised again. But tomorrow on Friday, what we hear today, the Father turns his grace away from this one, and he is not spared. The mob has also uttered a truth of sorts, it turns out. He cannot save himself. At least he will not. Because indeed he only saves others. It is your Lord's pleasure to be your substitute and so to be hailed as King and God in his death. As the altars of our churches, symbolic of Christ, are stripped bare in similitude to the soldiers as they led him out today, this psalm of prophecy will be heard, Psalm 22. And now as you hear it tonight, you will know that it is the psalm of our Lord's passion history. Do not miss then how our God, who writes it, has won the victory for us. How he who appeared conquered has actually conquered by this death. How his seed, who fell to the ground dead, rises and does not remain alone. How he has served God in this, and so his victory is accounted for generations to come. How, as we remember today, he makes the meek to eat and be satisfied and so live forever. how his righteousness is declared to all of the people who are born again in his name, and how because of this one dereliction, the Lord will not turn his face away from any of us ever again who cry to him.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Northwest District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for the Reverend Dan and Kathy Conrad, who served the Lord in Mexico. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.